I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Oh, praise God. You came to the right place. If you got a Bible, turn in it to the book of Isaiah, chapter 37. And I want to talk about one of the next names of the Lord. We've been in a series now for all fall, and we're going to end at the end of this season. But as we walk through the names of the Lord in the Bible, it's not different gods. It's the same God. But there were different names that the Bible uses for him in different seasons and in different situations. And so in each one of those names is an expression of our relationship with him, who he is in our life, what he does. If he's Yahweh Nisi, he's the Lord who's my banner. He's the one that I fly under. He's the one that I'm loyal to. If he's Yahweh Yireh, that means the Lord will see to it. The Lord will take care of it. And he supplies all of our needs. And I want to talk about one of my favorites, and I can't believe it. I almost forgot about this one because it's so in my face all the time, but it's one of my favorite titles for the Lord. And I've never talked about this name before. And I love it. If you've been coming for any length of time, you know, oh, let me just tell you what it is first. So here's the proper name of the Lord in the Bible, Yahweh. It's the four-letter word, and this is Paleo-Hebrew. It reads from right to left. And one of the compound names that's used even more than any of the others throughout the Bible is this word right here, Tzavaot. What is going on? Tzavaot, which means armies. So a tzava, which is from the first three letters from the right, tzava means an army, or King James says a host. And host is a little better because when you use this word, a host, by the way, there's one translation I found that actually says, when it translates this word, is it says the Lord of armies. Because one of the most basic ways that this name is expressed is that he was the Lord, he was the God of the armies of Israel. And so in the ancient world, in most places, from Egypt to Mesopotamia, all of those nations believed when they went out to war that their gods were, that they were fighting on behalf of their gods, and that their gods were going to give them victory. And all of those ancient cultures believed that when they lost the battle, it was because somehow they let their god down. And so the God of Israel was Yahweh. And so one of his titles is Yahweh Tzavaot, but it's even more than that. And so there's another transition. The hosts can also refer to all of the stars in the sky. And so when Genesis says, and God got done creating the world and all of its hosts. And so that's all of the stars that are in the sky. And so it's kind of a euphemism, right? The stars aren't an army, but they're up there like a giant army in the sky. Are you with me? And so there was kind of an in-between understanding of this word, is that that it's not just a God of the Lord of armies and not just the Lord of the stars, but it's the Lord of the angelic armies, the armies of heaven. And so there are psalms that we'll talk about when God created that the morning stars sang together. And it's really hard to tell. Is he talking about the stars as if they're angels, or the angels as if they're stars? And the answer is yes. It's kind of one of those words that kind of floats back. And it's your best guess when you read it of is he talking about angelic beings or the stars? And anyway, the beauty of this story, and if you can tell where I'm going, because it kind of leads up to the story of the angels showing up in the sky over the shepherds when they announced the birth of Jesus Christ. And the King James Bible calls them the heavenly host. That's not a connection that I'm forcing upon that text. That's actually what he's talking about. And so this that story in the Christmas story goes all the way back to the time of Hezekiah. And I'm so grateful to say the name Hezekiah today, because if you've been around me for any length of time, you know I'm like a broken record. I began to discover a couple years ago, just in all my studying of Psalms and of the book of Samuel, all that, how often the phrases and the terms that were very prevalent in the story of King Hezekiah, who was one of the righteous kings of Israel during the time when the Bible began to be written down, at how many of those end up in the stories that happened before that? Almost like They happened back then, but they were told during the time of Hezekiah. And today I don't even have to make my point because the Bible passage it says his name. And so this is actually one of those places in the middle part of the book of Isaiah, who was the prophet during King Hezekiah. It's where we get a lot of our prophecies about Emmanuel and God being with us. It's where we get the prophecies about the anointed one, because Hezekiah was just like David. He was a southern king who reunited all the tribes. So it's kind of even the foundation of Jesus, the Messiah. But the story is this. It takes about three chapters and it's told not only in the book of Isaiah, but also in the books of Samuel and books of Chronicles. So three times the Bible tells us the same period of story, which to me is like the Rosetta Stone of so many of the stories in the Bible. It's the place where you go to decode the rest of it. And so what happened? So all of the tribes are reunited. They're around in the city of Jerusalem. There's still a temple that's functioning, and the city grew. Archaeologists tell us that it was the heyday of the size of the city of Jerusalem because of all of the refugees that lived there. And at some point, Hezekiah rebelled against the Assyrian armies, and they came and laid siege to it. They destroyed most of the cities in what's now presently Israel, and they laid siege to Jerusalem. The largest freestanding army in human history was the Assyrian army. I can't even make this story bigger than what it is. So picture this. The first world empire surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and the king of Judah, his name was Hezekiah, and the commander that brought the army was named Sennacherib. He was a real guy. Even in the Assyrian annals, we have the records of this siege, of Sennacherib laying siege around the city of Jerusalem and then finally going away so he didn't conquer it. And that became famous because of its story of its deliverance. And so he sends a letter into him, and I'm not going to read you the whole letter. I'll just get to the story today. And the letter basically says, Hezekiah, why don't you just give up? He says, you know, we've conquered this nation and this nation and this nation. And when they prayed to their God, he didn't help them. In fact, we kind of think maybe because we conquered it, maybe their God was on our side. Maybe you should just give up. And it's futile anyway because we're going to conquer you. And Hezekiah took it in and he prayed about it. And he went and took it to the Lord. And so here is his prayer. Hezekiah's prayer has a bunch of fingerprints. And whenever I said that story in David, it's like Hezekiah, or that's like Hezekiah. So listen to the words of the prayer. I'm going to read it from my paper. He says, Hezekiah received the paper from the hand of the messengers. Hand is an important word. NIV blotted it out. It just says he received it from the messengers. But the hand is very important. How many times have you heard me mention the hand before? Noah reached out his hand and grabbed the dove. David reached his hand into the pouch to grab those five stones. Abraham reached out his hand to grab that knife. Those are all stories that were retold during Hezekiah's time. And it goes back to the hand. And so he took it from the hand of the messengers and read it. And then he went up to the house of Yahweh, that's the temple, and he spread it out before Yahweh. And Hezekiah prayed unto Yahweh. And he called him something that only Hezekiah called him and people that came after him. And so this name of the Lord doesn't show up in the earlier parts of the Bible. But here's what he called him. He said, O Yahweh Tzavaot, which means, O Lord of hosts, O Lord of the armies of heaven and earth. Are you with me? So it means both. You're the God of our armies, but you're also the Lord of the heavenly armies. And we need both right now if we're going to win this. Yahweh Tzavaot, God of Israel, who dwells between the cherubim. Which cherubim? So that, remember the cherubim on the top of the... Did you see Raiders of the Lost Ark? It's the angels on the top of the ark, right? And it existed in Hezekiah's time. And how they would talk about it is Yahweh had his throne right between those two angels. And this is one of the last times you hear about the ark, because after the Babylonians took it away, it never returned. Don't believe the movie. It's gone. We don't know where it went. But Yahweh Tzavaot, God of Israel, who dwells between the cherubim, is actually one big long title. And it shows up in the book of 1 Samuel when the Philistines steal the ark. It calls it that big long title. This is a very Hezekiah thing to call him. And he says, "You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heavens and earth. Give ear, O Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, O Yahweh, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to reproach the living God." That's a big word. Kherpat. Reproach is the whole center focus of David and Goliath. He said, David says, "Who is this Philistine to reproach the armies of the living God?" And that's that word. It's a shame word. It's a word when you lose the battle. And I'm going to show you too. I think the whole core of David and Goliath was retold to tell Hezekiah, "David, that army out there is Goliath and you're little David, but you're going to win it because God's on your side." Are you with me so far? How many know that we're going to win the battle? We can't do it on our own. We need the Lord on our side. And so David's story is our story, just like it was Hezekiah's story. It's the same truth today. The prophets are telling us the same thing over and over. Friends, you're in a battle today. Did you know that? There's a spiritual battle over the direction of your soul, and you're not going to win it in your own strength. Just like David wasn't going to win it in his own strength. You're not going to win it by yourself. Yeah? All right. Maybe second service will say amen. You guys go ahead and try it on your own. You don't believe me yet? Okay. Verse 18 says, "It is true, Yahweh, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste to all these nations and their lands. They have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the works of man's hands, made of wood and stone. Now, Yahweh, our God, save us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Yahweh, are the only one." I love that term. Save us from his hand. He prays this very specific prayer. You can say that a lot of different ways, right? I don't know if we go to war, if people say, "Oh Lord, save us out of the hand of the Germans." It's a very specific thing to pray. But David said this to Saul when he went to go fight against Goliath. He says, "Yahweh, who's been my Lord, saved me out of the hand of the lion and the bear. And he's going to save me today." This is Hezekiah's story over and over. And today I don't have to prove it because it just says it right there. This is a Hezekiah story. I know, man, it's such a Bible nerd. But what I love about this phrase is what this does is it teaches me something about my relationship with Jesus. In case you think I'm just all in the Old Testament, this whole idea of being delivered out of the hands is what Jesus came to do. It's why he came to earth, is to deliver us out of the hands of the enemy, to deliver us from ourselves, to deliver us from spiritual enemies. He came to set us free. The Bible says, "For this reason, the Son of Man became manifest, that he would destroy the works of the evil one." The very reason that he came into the earth, the very reason for Christmas and why we celebrate his birth, wasn't just a cute little baby was born in a manger, but that the Lord of hosts would come and he would win the battle once and for all. And so the first thing that the name the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Tzavaot, you want to say it with me? Yahweh Tzavaot. Tzava is an army, and Tzavaot is plural. He's the God of armies, and the first army that he's the God of is earthly armies. And so one of the ways that this name, when they talked about it, is that God is the God of the armies of Israel. He's the God of the armies of his people. And so you and I might not be in a physical battle, although there are some soldiers here that have been to a physical battle. But how many know we are in spiritual warfare? Not just someday, but in this life. And one of the things that we learned from the season of Hezekiah and the battle that he won, because how he won at the end of the day is that the angel of the Lord went out and fought on his behalf, and then Sennacherib went away. There's different stories from different sides. Sennacherib said that Hezekiah paid him off. That also is in the Bible too, in a different verse. But whatever the reason is, that out of all of the other cities that got conquered, Jerusalem never got conquered. And so then the prophets is saying this, the reason it didn't get conquered is because not only was God on their side, but they were on God's side. And you're not going to win the battle in the flesh. You're not going to win the battle by fighting with ordinary weapons. You need spiritual weapons. And every battle is either won or lost before it ever begins. before it ever begins. And so all throughout the Bible, not only in the, what's the point of the story of David and Goliath, by the way? If he is like the that foundational story, he was the George Washington of the nation of Israel. He was like, if it was a kingdom, he was King Arthur. And one of the main points of David's story is he fought against that giant Philistine, and he won it how? Did he use the same weapons that the Philistine used? Come on, Sunday school teachers, tell me the story. Did he? Did he go down there with Saul's armor on and with Saul's sword? No. Why? Because then he could say he won it in his own strength. But he went down there with what? His little slingshot. And five round stones. Why five? Because there were five Philistine kings. He took one for each one of them. And he went up against him, and he says to him, do you remember the Philistine comes down and he curses his gods, and he curses David by his gods. And David says back to him, here's the whole point, friends. Then David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh Tzavaot, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, whom you have reproached. It's that word, herpat. It's almost word for word, that prayer in the same phrases that Hezekiah uses. This story was told in the generation of Hezekiah to say, and just like you, you're not going to win the battle by fighting it the same way the enemy fights. You are not going to win that battle. And you've got to decide before you even go into that battle how you're going to fight it. Because battles are won and lost even before they take place. How many know what I'm talking about? Even before you get into that. It's the work that we do on our knees in prayer. It's the work that we do in asking the Lord and seeking His advice. You ever read The Art of War? So many businessmen, and Casey said at boot camp, it was almost like required reading. It was written by a Chinese general named Sun Tzu thousands and thousands of years ago. They asked him to sit down and to basically write the Bible of warfare, write down a bunch of proverbs on how to fight. And I got to tell you, I've read it. I've even had my staff read it. There's interesting things in there that still apply today. For whatever the battle is, whether it's business or whether it's just spiritual warfare, whatever it is. And one of the things that he talks about, the first whole chapter of The Art of War is about preparation. And Sun Tzu says, now the general who wins a battle may make many calculations in his temple ere the battle is fought. The general who loses a battle makes but few calculations beforehand. Thus do many calculations lead to victory and few calculations to defeat. How much more no calculation at all? It is by attention to this point that I can foresee who is likely to win or lose. According to Sun Tzu, every great battle is won or lost before it even begins. It's in the preparation. It's in deciding in our heart, how are we going to win this battle? What is the battle in your life today? It could be the battle over disease. It could be the battle over poverty, over winning the battle over depression or mental health issues. Whatever the battle is, I'm here to tell you, the same is true as it was about David, as it was about Hezekiah, as it was about Jesus Christ. You cannot win a spiritual battle with weapons of the flesh. You can't. When the soldiers came to get Jesus, one of the disciples picked up a sword and cut off the ear of one of the guys that came to get him. And by the way, I got to tell you remember when Donald Trump got shot in the ear? When your ear gets hit, it's because somebody's aiming at something else. Nobody aims at your ear, they're aiming at your head. That disciple was aiming at that young man's head, and he missed and cut off his ear, and Jesus healed it. And he says, don't you think if I wanted to, I couldn't have thousands of angels come and help me? Why? Because he's the Lord of hosts. He's in charge of all of the armies in heaven and on earth. And it's not in the flesh that we're going to win the battle. Can I say it again? Amen, light. We're not going to win the battle in the flesh. There I did it. I looked at those stupid lights and now I've just got dots. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, read it with me, would you? Because you don't sound convinced. It says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We don't fight the same way the world fights. I like that song that we sing, "When I fight on my knees." Man, the spiritual warriors is what we need today. We need to be praying. We need to be prepared. And we need to be people who are willing to fight for our kids and to do that work of warfare and prayer. You know, and coming soon, I'm going to stop mentioning the election that just took place just a little while ago. But I have friends on both sides. And every year, not just this year, but every year, every 4 years at least when it comes around, I have people from both sides come to me and say, "Pastor Mike, you just can't stay silent. You have to say something. The whole country is at stake. This is spiritual warfare. You have to take a side." And by the way, what they mean is they want me to take their side. And 5 minutes later, somebody will come up to me at the coffee pot and say, "Pastor Mike, you need to take a side." But they're on the other side of that guy that just walked away. And I said, "No, that's not it. That's not what we're here. Why?" And it's not because I don't care. And it's not because I think it's wrong to be political. I think it's okay. Choose your team. Fight for the things that are important to you. But as a church, we have a mission. We have a spiritual mission. And it is way more important than the political mission. We have something to accomplish. And I don't want to waste all of our energy and all of our bandwidth on things that are going to come and go. I want to save all of our energy for the things that are eternal. Anybody say amen? Amen. Whether you voted for him or not, this president's going to come and go. We know he's only going to have 4 years. And then they're going to run again. They're already starting to run again. Have you noticed it? They're already starting to ramp up, and oh man. But friends, I gotta tell you, if we just take a political stand and we become like the religious wing of the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, we lose our ability to do things like we did yesterday. And come together, all of us. And because I promise you, a lot of those people running and a lot of those people that gave, a lot of those businesses that gave towards the reindeer run to help feed people in Columbia County, they come from both parties. And if we make it a big deal to be a political entity, then we lose all of our ability to do what is our number one mission. How many are with me so far? We are God's army in this place, and we have a mission, and it's very important. I had to tell you, one of the most difficult tasks and one of the most important skills, and our staff can tell you this, is when we get all the time, we get pitched really, really good ideas. Really good ideas. We don't just say no to bad ideas. Those are easy. What's really hard is to say no to good ideas. I had one just I don't even want to mention it. I had one I won't mention it. Now you want to know. I can say this. Let me say this because there's really good people on both sides. Some of you know that in the last month or two, we've had some scandals that have gone national regarding our school. I'm going to tread very carefully because we've got people that are in the church and that are related in the church that have connections on both sides of the whole thing. People related to school board people, people who have been a part of what the accusations were in our school district. And just about a week ago, the new incoming mayor called me. And very, very nice lady. I hadn't met her yet, but she asked, she says, "You know, we'd like to use your church. We want to have a town hall, but we don't have a building big enough." And I said, "Well, that sounds like something that we love to do, town halls and serve the community." And she goes, "Because regarding this instance that's happening, and we want to have a meeting about some new legislation that's taken place." And I just said, I talked to her about it. Very nice person, but I talked it over with the staff. And you got to realize we have not only kids that have come through our church that understand and that have even been, I'm going to be very careful, that even been a part of some of the things that had happened. We also have people in our church that are related to school board members who have been threatened. And I finally just called back the mayor and I said, "You know, we would love to serve. Next time you call, I hope we can just say yes, because I hope we're just serving the community. But we have a mission that's too important for us to take sides politically on something and to risk further wounding somebody that's already wounded." That was it. Was that an easy call? That was a hard call. Man, I just wrestled with it, and we prayed about it. We talked about it as a staff. I don't even know if it would have been a big deal if we'd have done it. So they ended up having the town hall at the senior center, and it was fine. But I love our community. But I'm always very guarded about not letting us get into what they call in military terms mission creep, where we don't know what our mission is well enough to know how to say no to things that are even just right on the line. I want to so be focused on serving the community, serving people, and being a place where they can find healing, right? I don't want this to be a place where, for whatever the opinion and stuff, where people come and get re-wounded again. I don't want this to be that place. If there's fights or arguments or hostility, I don't want it to be in this place. I want this to be a place of healing and wholeness. And I've been praying, by the way, if you wonder how I pray, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't even want to talk about the specific situations, but I have been praying a lot. I've had people email me from all over the country saying, how are you doing in your community? And I just said, listen, how I'm doing. I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for restoration for anybody that was hurt. I pray for fairness and however things come out for the people that were involved. And I just pray. Anybody with me so far? If we're an army, don't you think it's important for us to stop and check in with the commander in chief? With the Lord of hosts? That's what it means. It means he's our general. And nobody else calls the shots but him. Amen? Keep praying with me about those situations, because there still are a lot of people that are hurting. And there needs to be resolution for our schools. Amen? Oh, I don't say that. I say pray. And then let's pray, can we? Father God, Lord, we just lift it up. And Lord, we know some of the people involved on all sides. And we know there's a lot of hurt feelings. And there's a lot of kids that are a little insecure, or more than a little. And I just pray, Lord, right now that you would just lead and guide the whole process. Lord, everybody involved in making decisions, Lord, may there be peace and healing in our community. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So important, friends, when we're battling with things here on earth, that we do that spiritual warfare as well. And so that's the second thing, is he's the Lord of earthly armies, but he's also the Lord of heavenly armies. And so I love this. He says, Lord, you have made heaven and earth. And so what he's saying is, whether it's spiritual or whether it's earthly, you are the God that's in charge of both. I love it in times in the Bible when they think they're battling against something that's an earthly issue, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord shows up with his sword. Are you with me? And he says, I'm here, I'm not fighting on your side, I'm not fighting on their side, but I'm fighting on behalf of the angels of the armies of the Lord. And isn't it good to know that whatever battle that we're in, that we don't fight alone? We have the Lord on our side. And when we fight in the Lord's army, we never, never fight alone. Isaiah 54 is from down three generations later, after the Babylonians conquer them and they're in exile, and then they're going to get restored. And here's this name comes up again. He says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He shall be called the God of the whole earth. And so here their restoration, now that they were lost, is God is saying, no matter what you're going through, I am on your side. No matter what the battle is, I'm on your side. You are never alone. I don't know if we have guardian angels. That theory is kind of more from the Middle Ages than it is from the Bible. There's a couple of verses that kind of open the door, but I don't know if I've ever felt like I was that important. But Molly's convinced, not only that I have a guardian angel, she's convinced there's a whole team. Because otherwise, I wouldn't be here today. And most days, she wishes that I would wear a helmet and bubble wrap when I leave the house, because I've fallen. My goal in 2025 is don't fall. Especially when you know the old phrase, right? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. It's true. It's true. I fell in Jamaica a few years back, and the doctor looked at me, shake his head, and said two things. One is, do you have any idea how lucky you are to be walking? And I said, that's not luck, sir. That's not luck. There's a verse that says, even when you stumble, his angels will pick up your feet. And so I said, the angels were looking after you. But he said, you know, but the bad news is you fractured your neck. He says, if you were normal size, you would have just bumped your head. But because you're you, now your neck is broken. But the Lord was looking after me. I'm still so convinced. I'm convinced on a regular basis, there are times that Let me just ask you, how many here can remember a situation where if it hadn't been for the Lord, you wouldn't be here right now? He saved us more times than we know. We don't even know how many times he's rescued us and saved us. And friends, it's important for us to remember that our most important battles happen in the unseen world. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, would you read it with me? He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms." And so this is where the spiritual warfare takes place. It's not just flesh and blood that we wrestle against, but we need to do the work on our hands and our knees and saying, Lord, would you help me in this situation? I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I don't want to just do it on my own. I just don't want to do it in my flesh. And even when we struggle from time to time, God just reminds us that he's on our side, that we don't fight alone, that we're never alone when the Lord is the Lord of us, when the Lord of hosts is the one who is calling the shots in our life. Yeah? So I just thought to myself, I went to bed last night. I said, I can't think of about the angel armies fighting on our side. And then I got up this morning and the Lord laid a clip on my heart. And I remembered George standing on that bridge, and It's a Wonderful Life, getting ready to take his own life. And it's amazing to me when I watch that movie that you've already gone through 2 hours by the time you get to this point of all of George Bailey's life, right? And he's up on that bridge, and he has a guardian angel named Clarence, and he sent him to look after him. And just as he's about ready to contemplating jumping in the water, what does his angel do? He jumps in before him because he knows that he's going to save it. Well, this is George getting to know his new guardian angel.
I didn't have time to get some stylish underwear. Wife gave me this on my last birthday. I passed away in it. Oh, Tom Sawyer's drying out too. You should read the new book Mark Twain's writing now.
How did you happen to fall in?
I didn't fall in. I jumped in to save George.
You what? To save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Oh, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Well, where do you come from?
Heaven. I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. You see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Very funny.
Your lip's bleeding, George.
Yeah. I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer a little bit ago.
Oh, no, 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 George. I'm the answer to your prayer. That's why I was sent down here.
How'd you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something? Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody? AS2, what's that AS2?
Angel, second class.
Oh, come on. Who's going to go home and watch that now this afternoon? I love it. I think I was in high school the first time I saw that movie and realized what it was about. I was bawling at the end. But what an amazing story. The angels look like that. I don't know what angels look like or if they get their wings and stuff. If I had an angel, that's probably about what my angel would look like, Clarence Oddbody. You know, there are angels that come. Do you believe in angels? I believe in angels too. And I think sometimes angels come in human form. I think sometimes they look like you people right out there. Not that you're an actual angel, but I think there are people that show up at a reindeer run in the middle of the rain and stand out there and give water to people and minister. There are angels that show up and take care of elderly people when nobody ever knows what's going on. Nobody ever thanks them. There are angels that are foster parents, that are angels that just take care of people that nobody else is ever going to thank them. They're never going to get an award, but they just show up and they do things. How many say, I don't know if I could be an angel, but I could be a Clarence Oddbody? Who could be an Oddbody right now? Anybody? Say, Pastor, you have no idea. I have a mirror. It gets odder every day. But the last part of it is, not only is he, and I'm going to come back because I started at the earthly armies and then went to the heavenly armies. And I said at the beginning that it's kind of in between, that the Lord of hosts is the one that's Lord over the armies that are, have one foot in both worlds. So the Lord of hosts means that he is the head of our army. And so we are in a spiritual army. Some of you are in the secret service. You don't brag about it very much. But no matter what, we have a battle. And it's the Lord's plan to bring heaven down to earth. The picture in the backdrop is just the painting. You remember the story? Now here's where it comes into the life of Jesus. So listen to the beauty of this. The Holy Spirit's outside of time and place. The Lord of hosts was a part of the David story, then Hezekiah and Josiah. And clear down 1,000 years later, now at the birth of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of what? The heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I believe that there is a spiritual world and that there is a physical world. That there's two parts of us. There's a part of us that's just, you know, that's just very human and very practical. There's a part of us that can just show up and help, but there's a part of us that's spiritual, part of us that was created to have a relationship with the Lord and to be aware of spiritual things. There's a gift in the New Testament called the gift of discerning of spirits. And I remember when I was in college, I was reading books about the Holy Spirit and asking the Lord about these things. And my pastor had just done a Sunday night teaching on the gift of discernment. And he said, you know, there will be some times when I don't even know why. It's not like I can see it. But there will be a situation going on and I just get this feeling in my stomach. The way he said it is, he goes, my discernment happens in my stomach. I just feel this sense that there's something going on that I need to pray about, that there's something in my spirit. I wonder if anybody's ever had that sense of discernment. I went to bed that night and said, Lord, I wish I could know. I wish I could see into the spiritual realm. That would be really cool. And I went to bed thinking about that. And I don't share this story very often. And this is one of those stories that you share it with, you know, somebody saw something in the sky or something like that, that I'm not putting this on anybody. I'm just sharing this as a testimony and you can believe it or not. But I was in college and I was in a dream. I have vivid dreams when I was, especially when I was younger. And I was dreaming about being in that service and thinking about that. And I can't even tell you the whole part of the story, but at some point in this dream, I had this vision about the fact that the spiritual world was as real as black and white. And as soon as those words came into my head, my eyes popped open. I wasn't asleep anymore. And it was like one of those moments, like the Bible says that Jacob had this experience in the middle of the night where he saw angels going up and back and forth to heaven. It was just like I was being held out over a cliff and the wind was blowing and it was just like, this is what it looks like. And all I could just sense is just complete opposite in the world. I was scared. I was pinned to my sheets. It lasted for about 15 seconds. And all I could think of to do is just say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I wanted to pick a side. And then it was like the whole thing just went, and it was over. And I'm sitting there in my bed. You believe that story or not? I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to share your story. You say, yeah, Pastor Mike, you just had too much pizza late at night. It was just all in your head. Okay, that's fine. I'm not telling you this to start a new doctrine or whatever. I'm just telling you about an experience I had one time, and I never forgot it. And I remember saying, Lord, if that's the gift of discernment, don't ever do that to me again. I don't want to see it. And so the Apostle Paul says, you know, I knew a man that was caught up into the seventh heaven, whether it was in the spirit or in the flesh, I don't know, but God knows. And I just tell you, I had one of those moments where I just said, Lord, I don't ever want to forget. There's a spiritual world behind what we see. And we are spiritual people. And if you've got an issue going on in your life or with your kids or with your family, don't ever forget to do the most important work, which is the spiritual warfare. Don't let it just be, oh, I guess all we can do now is pray. That's where it starts, friends. That's where it starts, is doing the battle in the spirit. You're battling depression, or you're battling anxiety. Begin also with prayer. I don't ever once get up here and just start flapping my gums. It's surprising me. People think I just get up here and just start talking. Well, I could do that. I said, no, I don't. I've been praying for a long, I can't tell you how many countless of hours I've been praying and studying and thinking, asking the Lord to give me a word. I don't just ask him to just give me some interesting things to say. Lord, give me a word. And I don't know if anybody else needs to hear this word, if maybe there's two people that came that the Lord wanted you to hear this. But if you're going to win the battle, you can't win it in your flesh. If you're going to win the battle, you've got to win it in the Spirit. And maybe that's the answer to the thing that you're struggling with the most, is that there needs to be some spiritual warfare. And so he sends us out into the world, just like he did with those shepherds. And he sends us out to make a difference in the world. I want to leave you with one of my favorite passages. And it's kind of a long verse that builds up to it. It's Peter, and he's talking about the gospel. And before this, he's talking about the prophets of old who wrote the Hebrew Bible, that they searched diligently and they wrote and they were led by the Holy Spirit. And yet they didn't fully understand the gospel that they were preaching, that it was meant for us. He says it was revealed to them, that's the prophets, that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And then he says something really amazing. He says, even angels long to look into these things. Isn't that a cool verse? What does that mean? Even angels long to look into things. I would think angels know more than us. But he says, you know, there's something that God's plan wasn't just going to be carried out by angels. If it was, he wouldn't have needed us. But there's a part of his purpose and his plan that he carries out through regular people like you and me. And he says, even the angels are like the spectators up in the stands, looking down, waiting to see what we're going to do with it. What are we going to do? Can I tell you who some of my favorite people were yesterday? The yellow people. We had a bunch of yellow people. They looked like a bunch of big birds standing out there. I drove up and taking videos, and I wanted to drive out and see the people that were serving out on the pouring down rain. Oh, man, it rained. It rained all the whole race yesterday. And these people showed up. They had rain gear. They looked like the Morton Salt guy. They were yellow from head to toe. And I stopped and asked the guy, and he says, yes, you need to dress like this if it's going to rain hard. I said, good to know. Thank you for explaining. But standing out there the whole time and just serving. Not doing it for them. They're from CERT, by the way. They're from the Community Emergency Response Team. And there was about a dozen of them standing out there. People standing and handing out water and giving instructions and whatever. I said, yeah, you know what? If God could do it with angels, then why would he need us? He does his best work through you and me. And so why wouldn't we just ask him, Lord of hosts, what is it that you want us to do? We're part of the army. How many know that you are in an army? Consider yourself recruited. And he's Yahweh Tzavaot. He's the Lord of the army. And he's the one that gives us our marching orders, because he has a lot of things to accomplish in this world. And he does it through you and me. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you, Lord of hosts, that you are still Lord of hosts. Lord, that you still command the armies of heaven, command the armies of earth. And Lord, today we just want to be available to you. Whatever it is that you want us to do in this season, we're available to you. And we pray, Lord God, that you'd use us. And friend, while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy, this is a recruiting session. I want to ask you if you're in the Lord's army yet. Have you signed up? I'm not just talking about coming to church one Sunday, but I said, are you ready to be used by him? If there's just one person that's saying today, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to be available to be used by you. If that's you, would you just look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that today? Amen, 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 sister. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, friends, if you're able to, would you stand to your feet and grab somebody's hand next to you? Let's just pray. Say this with me. O Lord of hosts, Lord Jesus Christ, we give you the praise today. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. I give it all to you. Use me, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Just praise him. Amen. Thank you. I love all of you so much. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the season.